This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
My Eileen, her
hello and welcome. My name is Liam Gormley and this is part one of a two-part Dundalk FM documentary on Harold O'Sullivan. He was born in 1924, died in 2009, and lived most of his life in Dundalk. In his life, he was a soldier, a health inspector, a trade unionist, and one of the most important historians of County Louth. Over the last year or so, I've tried to get to know him better by talking to his friends and family and professional colleagues, and hopefully by the end of the hour, you will know him better as well. In the programme, we talked to Dr. Alison Lennon, Dr. Raymond Gillespie, and Isabel Murphy. The interviews were recorded by Alan Byrne. Our intro song is Girl from the Wee County Louth by Brendan O'Dowda. The idea for this documentary was originally sparked by Alison Lennon, who coordinates documentaries for Dundalk FM. Alison is a doctor of medieval history, so she had an appreciation for how important Harold O'Sullivan's work was, and she thought someone should try and do justice to it. Unfortunately, she didn't have time to make it herself, so she handed me an application form and set me to work. Of course, I then turned around and made her record an interview for me. But anyway, I wasn't completely sure how to go about it at first, so I did what I always do. I started in the library. I sat down in the Louth County Library here in Dundalk, and slowly I came to understand just how much of our history in Louth we owe to this man. I was also fascinated by his history in the trade union movement, which I first learned about mainly from his obituaries. By sheer chance I stumbled on Isabel Murphy, who works in the library, and she was very willing to tell us a bit about Harold.
I have a very unique relationship, or I had a very unique relationship with Harry. I met him initially. He was retired from the unions at the stage that I met him, and he was very involved in the local studies, in the local history work. I mean, the amount of contributions he has made to the Louth Archaeological Journals, the Shanachas Ardwalkas, the Ecclesiastical Journals, books he has written. So I had met him that way, and it just coincidentally, I was involved in the trade union movement myself, Impact, which was the came after the local government and public service union, and then I was running in an election myself, and Harry was absolutely incredible, an incredible source of support for me, because he would always say, Isabel, never underestimate the power of the smallest counties, because Louth was the smallest county, but he had become president of the LGNPSU coming from the smallest county. He had become general secretary of the local government and public service union coming from the smallest county. So I was running for vice president of the union at the time, and he was absolutely brilliantly encouraging. He was saying, don't be put off by the fact that you're from the smallest county, and in fact I did get elected, so it was a happy ending to the story.
Outside of the union, Isabel came to rely on Harold in her role as a reference librarian. People go to the reference library all the time looking for maps and records, for information on buildings and on Dundalk and on the outlying towns. They go there looking for their family history, and whenever they asked a question Isabel couldn't answer, she could always pick up the phone.
He was incredibly generous with the amount of material that he acquired. And I mean, I have often in the past would have phoned Harry up, say looking for information, and Harry would be only too glad to pass it on. But equally, we would get an awful lot of foreign tourists in here searching their ancestry, and I have often rang Harry and said, I've got a bunch of Americans here, they're tracing their ancestors, they have somebody buried out in the cemetery. And Harry would say, send them out to me, Isabel, no problem, send them out to me and I'll bring them around. And he would have an endless amount of time for, you know, equally with young students who are studying for exams. I mean, you would think he would at his later stage have been impatient. No, he had endless patience for young students studying for exams. He was only too encouraging. Probably daily, people would come in here and they'd be looking for something material that Harry had been involved in the writing of. Like Dundalk, a military history that he wrote with Joe Gavin would be something that an awful lot of students who are studying for exams would be in checking out. He wrote John Bellew, 17th century man of many parts, as I said, could reflect her, as Raymond Gillespie said in his obituary of Harry. It could be written about Harry himself. He was a scholar, he was a public servant, he was a trade unionist, and there are career scholars who wouldn't have put as much material out into the public domain as Harry. And I believe that he donated all his writings and research to the archives, which they are, you know, stuff that we don't have is now housed in the archives in Dundalk.
He lived a long life and he produced a lot of work. It would take a lifetime to go through it all. So I sat down with two other historians to get a sense of what it all meant. One is Raymond Gillespie, who was a friend of Harold's and worked with him. And the other is Alison Lennon, who is also a historian of Louth.
Hi, Liam. My name is Dr. Alison Lennon. My general interest is in medieval history and archaeology. I specialise in the monuments, medieval monuments of County Louth and County Down. I have lectured extensively on these areas, looking at the people, the Anglo-Normans, who built these monuments here in Louth and Down, and to try and find common features within these monuments, architectural features, with monuments, similar monuments in England, Scotland, Wales. I also give workshops to secondary and primary schools on their local archaeology, and I work as well as a documentary developer for Dundalk FM here in Dundalk.
It was Alison that first suggested we make a documentary about Harold. She didn't know the man personally, but she knew his work very well.
But it was only when I became a postgraduate focusing specifically on Louth and Down that I became seriously aware of him. And of course, as I've said already, you couldn't study the history and archaeology of Louth, at least not in any serious way, without being aware of Harold O'Sullivan. I would say that Harold O'Sullivan made an extremely important contribution to the history and archaeology of Dundalk. Any student or researcher in either of those areas would have to study O'Sullivan's work to gain an accurate analysis of how the town of Dundalk in particular and County Louth in general developed over the centuries. And what's very interesting about Harold O'Sullivan is his range of historical writings was so broad. He wrote about everything from the Cromwellian plantation in Louth to the emergence of the national system of education, again here in Louth. His work was minutely researched, and adding his work to your bibliography would always lend it academic weight. He also had a very close relationship with the County Louth Archaeological and Historical Society. And I remember when I started college, one of my lecturers saying that of all the journals of archaeological societies in Ireland, that Louth was the most impressive and extensive, and Harold O'Sullivan made a great contribution to their journal. So in answer to your question, we are very fortunate here in Louth to be able to benefit from his many articles and publications, which any student would find both informative and fascinating.
Digging through the dedications of one of Harold's many books, I came across another very interesting name, Dr. Raymond Gillespie. After a little digging, I found out that he was still active. He was working and teaching in Maynooth, and he was willing to talk to me.
My name is Raymond Gillespie. I teach in the history department in Maynooth. And, I mean, I have known Harold O'Sullivan, or knew Harold O'Sullivan, for a very long time indeed, when I was a postgraduate student in Trinity, back in the late 1970s. My then supervisor, who was called Aidan Clark, said, a man has just been to see me who wants to do a thesis on the Trevors of Ross Trevor. And he's a bit unconventional because he doesn't have the usual qualifications, but he sounds very plausible. He says, you're working on County Down in the 17th century. Would you talk to him?
Harold and the doctor had a long history together, and he was able to tell me a lot about how Harold got his start as a scholar.
The great influence on him in terms of being a historian was, of course, Tomás Ó Fí, who he knew from the Armagh connection. And it was O'Fee who encouraged him to write the very early articles in the Louth Journal, in the County Louth Archaeological Society Journal. And of course, Thomas O'Fee was a great encourager and a great enthusiast, and anyone who, you know, showed any interest at all in local history, Thomas O'Fee would sign them up straight away. So it was really Thomas O'Fee that pulled Harold into this, you know, as if you like, an outsider in Dundalk, wanting to know a little bit about the place. And once he expressed any interest at all, I think Thomas O'Fee encouraged him to do that. And I think some of his very early stuff was done very much under the influence of Thomas O'Fee. So the material on the Franciscans and so on, that was done quite early on. He was very enthusiastic about that.
If you go to the county library and ask any questions about the history of Dundalk, you'll probably be shown the Historic Towns Atlas. Reading it, I got a sense of just how long Dundalk's history is. Many of the earliest records Harold was able to find reference the town already existing. Certain features, like Clanrassil Street, seem to have always been part of it. Of course, it's been demolished and rebuilt many times, so I've walked up and down it my entire life without really grasping how ancient it was. One thing Isabel told me, and nearly everyone else I spoke to confirmed, he was very good with maps.
He kicked off with the Louth Archaeological Journals with the Clanrassil maps, which we still use here. Mm-hmm. We still use the Clanrassil maps, the 18th century Clanrassil maps. We still use them here when people come in, because it shows the Clanrassil estate, the whole Earl of Roden. And this was, I suppose, ironically, the last work that he had worked on, which was the Irish, which they say is a magnificent publication. Getting a bit dog-eared now from a lot of use.
The Atlas is the sort of thing that only someone like Harold could have made, and both Dr. Lennon and Dr. Gillespie had plenty to tell me about it.
I don't think Harold ever produced or wrote any sort of article that wasn't an excellent piece of work. But for me, the sort of standout of his work was actually later in his life, and it was the Irish Historical Town Atlas for Dundalk. He also wrote one for Carlingford, which is just as impressive. But for me, the Dundalk one has been sort of pivotal in my studies. Both are really remarkable publications. The Irish Historical Towns Atlas, which is known as IHTA, was a project that was established in the early 80s. And the main aim was to record the topographical development of a number of Irish towns, both large and small towns. And each town is published separately in the form of an A3 folder. Very, very impressive sort of presentation, and includes a series of maps complemented by a detailed text section. And actually, the Irish Historic Town Atlas is part of a wider European scheme, with town atlases containing broadly similar information available for a number of countries. Number 16 is the number of Harold's series in the Irish Historic Town Atlas, and it records the topographical development of Dundalk. It includes historical and archaeological details of over 1,300 sites, and it traces Dundalk's evolution from its origins as a medieval borough to its expansion in the 19th century as an industrial centre. What is beautiful, and I really mean what makes it so special, is that within this A3 folder, you get a selection of historical maps, which are presented in colour on large format sheets. There's about 15 of them. And among this rare collection of old maps is one from Dundalk in 1594, and a large colour reconstruction of the town from around 1835. There's also maps of the Clanrassil estate from 1777 and 1785, and they are provided alongside a number of Ordnance Survey maps. And within the actual text section, there is also a number of smaller black and white maps. late 19th century photographs in Dundalk and an aerial view further enrich the reader's knowledge of the town. But don't get me wrong, while the maps, photos and aerial view are full of information as well as amazing to look at and to own, the narrative part of the Historic Town Atlas is equally as important, providing the reader with detailed information about the development and topography of the town of Dundalk. From its beginning, a castle town mount under the watchful eye of Bertram de Verdon, an Anglo-Norman lord who was granted lands here, to the establishment of Dundalk as an industrial centre. It's not just a book. It's not just an historical source. It's something very, very special. All of these maps are. But to have one about Dundalk, anyone, you wouldn't have to be a student. You wouldn't have to be sort of focused on any particular type of research. Every home in Dundalk should have one of these. It really is a sort of seminal work for a house to own on their town to find out and look at its origins and its development.
The Historic Towns Atlas Harold compiled doesn't exist in isolation. It's part of a project to compile information on towns like Dundalk all over Europe, and it relies on experienced local historians like Harold to do it. Dr. Gillespie told me more about it.
I think, you know, the point of the Historic Towns Atlas is to look at the evolution of a town over a long period of time, so that there are various elements in the atlas, which I won't bore you with now. You know, there is topographical data in a very indigestible form. There is an essay, there is, you know, facsimile reproductions of maps. And that the idea is that if you produce enough towns, then you will have material for comparative purposes. And you'll be able to say, well, what makes Dundalk distinctive? Or what makes Carlingford distinctive? Or what makes it similar to, you know, other towns in the area? And indeed, other in the case of somewhere like Carlingford, you know, towns that are founded around castles. I mean, so what are the similarities between Carrickfergus and, you know, Carlingford, which are, you know, have similar origins, similar backgrounds, and so on, and why do they differ as well? So that's the sort of logic of the project. It's a way of gathering material together. I mean, very large quantities of material, because there is a vast amount of information in them, even though it may not look it. It's rather like writing a set of footnotes for the essay without ever writing the essay itself. So they are quite labour intensive, but it was exactly the sort of thing that Harold loved to do. One of the things that we thought about, of course, was that, you know, we needed towns that were on the border now. I mean, Louth was one of the gaps, shall we say, in the sort of towns that had been done up to that point. So there wasn't really a Louth town that you compare anything else with. Now, of course, Drogheda is almost finished. So, you know, there will be two. But Dundalk, it was a way of doing this. There wasn't really, you know, a good history of Dundalk since Dalton in the 19th century. A proper history with, you know, all the evidence laid out. There were lots of individual contributions towards a history in the Live Journal, but no one had drawn it all together. So the editorial board of the Atlas decided we better do this. So, you know, there was no other choice to make but that Harold O'Sullivan. And it was exactly, he loved it. And he loved it. I think what gave him an added dimension to it was the fact that the Atlas is linked into a much wider European network. And he liked the idea of being part of something much bigger and putting Dundalk on the map, so to speak.
That was one thing I remember now that you mentioned in the notes, that there is this larger historical project to create these sorts of atlases about towns all over Europe.
Yes. I mean, there are, again, the idea long term. I mean, this all happened after the Second World War and the idea of cooperation across Europe. And again, the idea was coming particularly from Germany and Munster, Centre for Comparative Urban History, the idea that, you know, you should be making comparisons across Europe. So, you know, there are features of European urbanisation. And when you think about it, I mean, a town plan doesn't just happen. I mean, part of it is the result of topography, of the existing landscape, but it's also the result of people's decisions about why build something here, why put a street here, how do we lay out this town here. And those decisions are profoundly social decisions. So that, therefore, if you want to understand the social background, the social origins of these towns, topography is as good a source as you will get, because particularly in somewhere like Ireland, where the documentation is not as good as it might be, shall we say, topography provides a very useful way of organising this sort of material. So the plan scheme was to do right across Europe a whole range of towns, which would then be comparative, which could be comparative, shall we say, in the longer term. Some recent work has begun to be done across Europe on urban origins, using the Atlas as a comparative way of doing this. But, you know, the idea is that we can come up with some material which will be of very local and micro interest, but equally will be of very broad and European interest, and hopefully will be more than simply the sum of the parts. We'll draw out more general propositions.
One of the things that made Harold suitable for the job of putting the Atlas together was his experience with maps. This went back decades. Some of his earliest works involved salvaging old maps, and it gave him a unique understanding of Louth as a place.
The nature of estate archives in Ireland, as with so much other material, was that they simply, you know, end up, particularly older material, which is no longer of any use anymore, they simply end up in piles in corners, where they either moulder away or, you know, are eaten by rats or something else exciting happens to them, such as that. And the Clanbrassil, I mean, they end up in solicitors' offices, as they turn. And Harold talked about that history was really to be based on the documents. And to do that, you needed to see the documents. And he was a firm believer that you simply must try to run down everything you could. And part of that was to look in every possible place, whether that was London, whether that was Belfast, whether that was Dublin, whatever it was, you needed to have as thorough a coverage as you did. And part of that was simply to discover what was still there, very often in not good shape, very often fragmentary, and certainly one of those Clanbrassil estate maps, much later on, when he came to do the Historic Towns Atlas for Dundalk, turned out to be, you know, incredibly important, but surviving only because he had made a tracing of it when he saw it, you know, way back in the 1960s. The original now seems to have vanished somewhere, but he had produced a tracing, which is much easier to use anyway, I mean, much clearer, and he'd actually used it. I mean, so, you know, this was sort of an example of him actually being engaged with material out there, with the actual hard evidence for the reconstruction of the past. I mean, some of his very early work, of course, was focused around maps and around the... And some of the work, you know, that he did in terms of the evolution of Dundalk, which, of course, was one of his great fascinations, was actually the shaping of time, was through a series of maps. And that culminated, of course, in the Irish Historic Towns Atlas for Dundalk, and then latterly the one for Carlingford that, you know, he had almost completed before he died. So he had a great fascination with place and with the people who live in that place. So maps very clearly informed the way in which he thought. And they informed, as you say, much more a sense of how people related to the world around them. So, for example, for him, there was no border. I mean, there was South Down was much more part of Louth than it was part of the rest of Ulster. So he found no difficulty at all in studying Nicholas Bagnall at Newry, which, as far as he was concerned, was part of the Louth story. And I think one of the interesting things that we tried to do was what he would describe as the Cuchulainn country. And we did try for some years, and Harold was very instrumental in this, in setting up a summer school based in Carlingford, which produced a number of books. The first of them was The Borderlands. And the point about that book was it tried to transcend the normal boundaries. It tried to look at a region which was a borderland rather than something that was made up of bits simply stuck together, something that had its own unique identity and its own unique perspective. And part of that was the story of the town.
Something that came up again and again with all the people I interviewed was Harold's affection for Louth and for Dundalk.
His approach, he was very much, even though he wasn't from the town, he was very much a proud Dundalk man. I mean, he felt himself as a Dundalk man. And what he felt part of was Dundalk, which was part of that South Ulster, North Leinster world. It was not somehow stuck on the edge. It was not peripheral to Louth. It was right at the centre of the world. And that sense of how the world operated was Dundalk was the centre of a very particular region. And call it the borderlands or call it what you like, but you know that and the people who moved around in that. So, for example, he would always argue that, you know, Louth did not end at the border. Newry was part of the Louth experience. So therefore, the Louth Archaeological Society Journal should publish material on Newry, for example, even though there would be some resistance, shall we say, to going outside the county. But nevertheless, he saw that as important. That
I think he called these people flat earthers or something like that.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I think it was that sort of perspective that there was a sort of seamlessness to it, that people's boundaries. And for a local government official, you would expect him to have been fixated by boundaries. But in fact, the boundaries he understood were not the normal conventional boundaries.
Something I found interesting from our conversations with the two doctors was their different perspectives on the same man. Dr. Gillespie was a contemporary of Harold's. He collaborated with him and he knew him. Dr. Lennon was someone who came after him, and his work laid the foundation for her own. When was the first time you encountered Harold's work?
As you say, Harold indeed was publishing really far back. I think his first article in the County Loud Archaeological and Historical Journal was in 1961. For me, I had been aware of Harold O'Sullivan in the periphery of history, but I really started took notice of him when I started researching my PhD in medieval history and archaeology. And what I was looking at was the medieval monuments of County Loud and Down. And as I said earlier, studying their archaeological features in order to compare them to similar monuments in England and Wales. But the first thing I needed to do was study the people who ordered the construction of these monuments, which included castles like Roach, just out the road, and King John's Castle in Carlingford, and religious foundations here in the town, like the Grey Friary and St Leonard's Hospital in Seatown. I had read Paul Gosling's seminal work From Dundalk to Dundalk, which is about the topography and archaeology of a frontier town, as it's called. And after reading that, I had noticed in his sources, in his bibliography, Harold O'Sullivan's name crept up a lot. So I asked my professor, could he recommend any further reading? And as I say, I'd been aware of Harold, but was now really familiar with his work. And it was my supervisor, Professor Terry Barry, who pushed me in the direction of his publications. And of course, as my research progressed, Harold's work became invaluable. Certainly Trinity were very aware of Harold O'Sullivan. As you know, he studied there. And my professor told me that you could not look at Dundalk and its history without looking at the work of Harold O'Sullivan. He was hugely respected within the historical and archaeological academic community. And once you come across one of his publications, there's no doubt you'll go on to look for more.
This little documentary can really only serve as an introduction to the man and his work. Trying to summarise it here would be like trying to summarise the whole history of Louth. If you found any of this interesting, I strongly recommend looking into it yourself. Go down to the library yourself someday if you've a spare few hours. Take a look at the Atlas. Read a bit of Tales from the Borderlands. Have a chat with Isabel if she's there. Harold spent his life assembling these wonderful resources, and if you go looking, I guarantee you'll learn something about our home that you never knew before. In the next section, I'll be describing more of what Harold was like as a man. I'll be giving you a brief biography of his life as a soldier, a health inspector and a trade union leader. We'll also find out a little of his own history with the trade union movement in Ireland. Until then, I'll leave you with a quote from his nephew, Felix O'Callaghan.
He had a great love for the town of Dundalk, and he said, you know, you people are far better than you make yourselves out to be. You know, that was one of the reasons he wrote so much about the history of Dundalk was to try and lift our own opinion about how good a town we actually are and how far back we go.
And my girl from the wee county.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.